It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We should embrace playing the gold standard of this conference right now. You should welcome that. You should want that. You should want that experience. It should burn within you to say, I want that opportunity.
Nobody's left. Give the ball up and over and in. I believe. Everybody knew what was coming. Alabama knew what was coming. Bo Jackson, just on sure effort, got it. Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Sanders, oh, he caught it with the boot, and he dived in. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness!
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown!
There goes Davis!
Oh, my God!
Davis is going to run it all the way back! Auburn's going to win the football game! Auburn's going to win the football game! He ran the missed field goal back! He ran it back 109 yards! They're not going to keep him off the field tonight!
Road, home, dirt, grass, it don't matter. Just give us that opportunity. That's the fire that is within us.
First down and 10, just inside of midfield. Here's Cam on the fake, right up the middle, breaks a tackle at the 40, stays on his feet, 35-30, 25-20. Peterson, the one man to beat, at the 5, he is in! Touchdown, Auburn! Flash that smile, Cam.
Waits for the snap in the place. There it is. The kick is up. The kick is good. Auburn wins. 22-19.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, the host of Tiger Talk Overtime, Doug Holton.
Both those guys have played really well. They're both going to play in the game, like I said earlier. We're going to go with Deuce as the starter, and you know, I think he's earned it, done a great job. We're excited to see him go play.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome into the show. Those are the thoughts of DJ Durkin today about the starter this weekend. The Deuce is loose for the Tigers as the starter. Jackson Arnold will play as well. We'll talk some football tonight. The national championship teams honored this weekend on the Plains. We'll talk to Brian Brinsfield and lots of other guys. Shannon Robeek, Frank Sanders, Jason Taylor coming your way a little later in the show. Kevin Fichtner is with us at the top here to talk some football and basketball. Kevin, what do you think? Deuce is finally the starter. He had a little bit of play time there against Ball State. Didn't look great, but he's going to get another shot this weekend.
Yeah, like you said, the deuce is loose, and hopefully they won't be loose out of his hands like it was against Ball State. It's been a few months since we've seen him, but I think it's the right thing to do. We know what Jackson Arnold can do. We want to rest Ashton Daniels because of redshirt, you know, eligibility, that we can have him back for next year if need be. Let's do this against Mercer. Let's see what Deuce can do. So I know both him and Jackson may play, but if Deuce does well, it'll be good to see the coaching staff get a look at him and the teammates around him and see how they perform with him running the offense. So it's going to be interesting. Thankfully, it is against Mercer. They're not terrible, but it's not an SEC team. So, yeah. You know, if he does well, maybe there'll be some plays for him in the Iron Bowl. Who knows? It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what he can do against Mercer. You got it's Thanksgiving week for the students, so a lot of them may not be at this game. So it might be like playing in high school in Louisiana for him. We'll see. It won't be a sold out Jordan Hare, but people will be there, and the eyes will be on him. Everybody will be watching him.
Yep. And Coach Durkin also said Horatio Fields is back at practice, maybe not ready to play, is what I'm reading into his comments. But basketball last night at Neville as well. The Tigers, I thought they looked pretty good against Jackson State, although it's hard to tell against Jackson State. Keyshawn Hall didn't play in the ball game, which I didn't even notice until 5 or 6 minutes into the game. I thought they really passed the ball well, played unselfish, and a number of guys had good performances.
Yeah, the biggest thing that I saw from the game was our free throw percentage was better than against Houston. Houston, we missed so many free throws down the stretch that could have, you know, won that game for us. But we were better on the free throw line last night. And, yeah, I mean, it was Jackson State, but we had a nice bounce back from Houston. You know, it was the not a letdown, but you didn't want to let down. And the guys stepped up and crushed Jackson State like we should have. One thing I saw also in the stat sheet was that we only out-rebounded them, I think, by one or two in the second half, maybe it was offensive rebounds, and that was kind of concerning a little bit because we did score so many points, but we didn't get a lot of offensive rebounds. Maybe our shots were going in, we were shooting a high percentage. Someone like Simon Walker shooting 5 from 5 from three.
That helps,
in his 8 minutes of action, scored 15 points, so that was exciting to see. The fans loved it. The bench loved it. You know, it wasn't a typical sellout. It might have been a sellout on paper, but there were a lot of empty seats there at Neville. But that will change because, you know, from here on out, it's pretty much top of the line action. We go to Vegas. You know, we got Oregon on Monday. We got Michigan, number 7 ranked team in the nation, on Tuesday. And then a team on Wednesday to be announced. And then we come home the following Wednesday and we host currently ranked NC State, and then we go to Arizona. So it's going to be an action-packed, high-intensity, ranked team opponents for the next couple weeks for Auburn.
Yeah, I'm going to put Steve Pearl to the test here in his coaching ability. And the young, not a young roster, but a new roster, a lot of new faces trying to find that chemistry. Kevin, it's a great weekend to hit Big Mike's Steakhouse, I think, don't you think?
Oh,
we got
I do.
A 1 o'clock game, so you can go after the game this week. Grab a ribeye, a filet, a Shug Jordan strip if you happen to be in Auburn, or if you happen to be elsewhere, check out all the locations in South Alabama or anywhere else in the state, really, BigMikeSteakhouse.com. So it's time to dig in, don't you think? A potato, a salad, maybe some soup and a ribeye this weekend?
For sure. I'm thinking filet for me. I love the filet. So I'm going medium filet. Give me some asparagus. I want some potatoes. And of course, that bread before it all comes out with a salad.
Absolutely. And don't forget to grab some Oscar to put on top of your steak or some Parmesan or maybe a dessert this weekend, Kevin, would be good after the Mercer game and a dinner at Big Mike's Steakhouse.
That's right. Yeah. And tasty beverage to go along with it to wash it all down.
And watch the night game as well at Big Mike Steakhouse. Check him out at BigMikeSteakhouse.com. Kevin, always appreciate you. Enjoy the ball game this weekend, War Eagle. And you know what next week is?
It's the Iron Bowl. 6:30 p.m. kick. First time in 17 years. The Iron Bowl is the night game. We got a chance. We got a chance. I think it's, if any time we're going to do it next weekend, next Saturday.
Yeah. It's going to be nice and chilly, so we'll see you next week.
See you, Doug. War Eagle.
War Eagle, Kevin Fichtner. And when we come back on Tiger Talk Overtime, more college football talk as Brian Brensfield joins us to talk about the coaching search and this week's game and much more. Stay here.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome back to the show. Time to talk a little Auburn football with Brian Brensfield, former Auburn Tiger. Always an Auburn Tiger and a national champion from 1993. Brian, great to have you with us. I know you're getting ready for a big weekend on the Plains, a little celebration of national champions. And it's been a busy week in college football. Not a lot of great games going on this weekend, but a lot of coaching talk involving that guy over there at Ole Miss who's doing a lot of yoga, it seems like.
Yeah, I'm on my way right now to do some yoga with him, and I think the AD. Yeah, we're gonna stretch it out. It's kind of the calm before the storm. The week before the last game usually is usually get a kind of an easy game. And listen, Mercer is, what are they, 9-8-2, something like
9-1, I think.
9-1.
Yeah.
So
is that right?
It may not be an easy game. And
they're pretty good.
Yeah. And we get to talk about some stuff a little bit later on, and the quarterback issue with Ashton sitting out, whether we play Deuce or whether we play Jackson or whether we play both, that's going to be interesting to watch unfold, I think.
Yeah.
And see how that goes, especially watching Deuce, and just, you know, hopefully they'll tell him, go out and play some football, and we'll get to see his natural raw talent, and then kind of see where the program is going in the future.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll be fun to watch him play if he does start, and see how much better he's gotten since Ball State, because at the Ball State game, I didn't think he was ready to play.
No. But that's early in the season. And there's so much. I'm sure Coach Freeze didn't. Well, I'm not sure. I can't say that. But I don't know how much he pared down the offense for Deuce.
Right.
He probably had the whole thing running through his brain. Your rear end's tight. You're in front of 89,000, 90,000 people. And so hopefully, I've said this a couple times, hopefully they sit down in front of them and say, I don't, just tune out everything else. Just go play football.
Right. Kind of like they did with Ashton last week.
Yeah. Yeah. And it worked. Whoever talked to Ashton, go talk to, hopefully they have the sports psychologist on the staff, and go talk to Deuce and go say, listen, pretend like there's a chain link fence around Jordan here, and this is a backyard.
Yeah.
And just go play.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. You know, the thing about quarterbacks is the fans always love the backups, and it's going to go crazy if Deuce does really well. It's going to go really crazy.
Yeah. If he hits that deep ball, it's going to be nuts.
If he hits a deep ball, or if he hits a run. I mean, he's a good runner, I think.
Yeah.
If he hits a 60-yard run or something like that, it's going to go nuts. And then there's going to be fuel for the fire for next year. Whether it is, should Ashton have taken his red shirt? Now is Deuce, should Deuce be the quarterback?
Yeah. Or even next week.
Even next week.
People will be talking about, should it be Deuce or should it be Ashton against Alabama, right?
Yeah. When I was there, Stan was our quarterback, and the stud on campus, the most famous person on campus, or the favorite person on campus, was Patrick Nix. When Patrick was a quarterback in 93 and 94, the most famous person on campus was Damian Craig. And it's just always like that.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Frank Sanders.
Well, Frank was obviously the greatest, and he was just the greatest. Yep. But he played. They did not want Frank to play.
He wasn't the quarterback.
They always want the backup quarterback to play.
Yeah. But we'll get to Frank in just a second. I know you talked to him this week, but that quarterback, the coaching situation, we were in that deal with Lane Kiffin not too long ago. So I'm interested to know your thoughts on what you're thinking he's going to do, as if anybody knows, or as if he knows. And then the Auburn situation, any further progression there as far as you're concerned as to who the best fit is or who's the front runner?
No, it's kind of not cooled off, but it's kind of cooled off a little bit, I think. And, there's so much, we saw that Summerall, we saw flirting with Florida, and then Florida saying, no, that's not going to happen. And we see Kiffin's family is house shopping and Cajun eating in Baton Rouge. And then they go Gator shopping and Gator eating in Gainesville.
Lane knows nothing about that.
Lane has no clue where his family is, because he's doing hot yoga. With Kiffin, again, this is my take. Kiffin, we know this. Kiffin is always looking for something else. He'd be dumb to go to anywhere else than where he is. I mean, they're going to name the stadium after him. They're going to name the field after him. They're going to put a statue of him outside the stadium that's named after him, that's named after the field, that's named after the stadium.
May build a new stadium named after him, right. Which they need, I think.
Right, they do need a new stadium.
But apparently LSU has offered him $15 million a year. is what the rumor was going around yesterday.
Yeah.
I know it at the beginning of the process, I said, I threw out a crazy figure for Florida of, I think, $20 million a year. So we're getting closer.
Yeah, you did. But you need to read that contract really well, because you need to make sure the governor has signed off on it. You need to make sure the Congress has signed off on it.
Yeah.
You need to make sure Mike the Tiger signed off on it. That when you get fired, because it's inevitable, if you don't win a national championship in the first 5 years, you're not going to be there. And that may be
the best thing ever, right, for Lane Kiffin. He may coach 2 years and then get his buyout.
Hey, and then go to Florida.
Yeah.
Where you really want to be.
$180 million buyout, and then go to Florida.
And get $20 million a year.
We talked about the celebration of national champions this weekend, and you're going to be there, Brian, a lot of your teammates, and we'll hear from them in a minute. But one of the guys you talked to this week, a very special player at Auburn, Frank Sanders, sent us a little bit of a message that we're going to play. And just reminisce and talk about him a little bit. I know you guys are pretty close and in the same class, I think. But those memories that he gave us at Auburn were they're still there. They're still fresh.
Yeah. Frank doesn't get to come back much, and he's got a busy schedule out in Arizona. And so, you know, I haven't seen Frank in a long time, but Frank did send me a text a couple of years ago. He saw a photo on Facebook of me and my father, and he sent me it was me and my dad in Gulf Shores when I was probably 3 years old. And he sent me a text and said, "That's one of the most beautiful pictures I've ever seen." And I'll send the text when we can put it on next. It really is a good text. And I mean, a really good photo, and it's a good tribute to my father. The thing that made Frank was a smile. How he made you feel. He sat, our lockers were right next to each other. I was between Frank and Chris Schelling, and had no business being between them. But Frank just smiled all the time and just made you feel good. And he made, when I talked to him the other day, he makes you feel good. You know, these guys love Auburn still. It's been almost 35 years or so, and since we started there, and 30 years since the end of the 93 season, 32 years, and the passion that these guys talk about is still there, and the reverence that they talk about, and just the camaraderie. It's, you know, I talked about my father and the 68 team, how they gathered around every year, and the outpouring of love that they sent me when my father passed. There's not a lot of teams that go undefeated or have a national championship, and it's a small club. And our team at 93 was a small club that wasn't supposed to be, but was.
Yeah. And it's a little different now, I think, with the level of commitment to the schools. But let's listen into Frank Sanders and his message this week about what Auburn meant to him. We'll come back and talk to Brian and Shannon Robeek and Jason Taylor and Todd Bolin and have some fun in a little bit. Here's Frank Sanders.
1993, we had just came off of 5-5-1 and 5-6 seasons. This is Frank Sanders, if you don't know, by the voice, but number 81 in your program. But as we always say jokingly, number one in your heart. Oh, he caught it at the 2. Knicks floats one to Sanders. Yeah, that guy. We just lost Coach Dye to some allegations and being on probation. Coach Terry Bowden comes in. A lot of spunk. Seems like he knows exactly what he wants to do with this new Auburn football team coming away from Samford University as their head coach. He talked about attitude and the mindset it takes for a team to believe that they can do something that nobody else believes in. We thought we had a good team. We believed we had a good team until we realized that we had a good team. Every Saturday, everyone came hard to play. The players that are supposed to make plays when I'd make plays, Calvin Jackson, James Bostic, Thomas Bailey, Frank Sanders, Willie Gauthier at a moment's notice, Tyrone Goodson when we needed him, Brian Robinson, Shell Shock, the defensive front line, so many to name, Jason Miska, Mike Linebacker. But it was a moment in time, a moment in history that is to be loved and lived by all of Auburn, not just the players on the football field, but all of those that love Auburn. That moment is probably the best moment in my life. The Alabama catch is sincerely the best catch in my life. Going undefeated for the university that you choose after coming off the past 2 years of disappointment, but finding a way with a new coach, finding a way with players that wanted to believe, but not only in football, just about Auburn. Coach Dye would always say, it's something about a man that stands tall in four quarters of football. You learn a lot about a man. And you're going to get that moment tonight, man. You're going to learn a lot about yourself, is what he would say. And then we get Terry Bowden with this quote about attitude. And the guys believing in the mindset it takes to go out and fight four quarters of football and believe in something that no one else believes in you. I think that was the jolt in the arms that we needed. But the love that was on that team, the desire for that team to want to go out and make Coach Dye proud of them. And in the midst, we found a good coach in Terry Bowden. The entire coaching staff was all committed to Auburn. They all had that one mindset that if you men come together and believe in something stronger and greater than yourself, and that's Auburn, we'll come out victorious. And that's not a new mantra. That's an old mindset of Auburn University through the former great Shook Jordan and then Coach Dye. And those men stood tall when they stood tall in front of those men that was on knees and before a Saturday night football game or a Saturday football game. They believed in Auburn, and they wanted us to believe in Auburn. 1993 was a great season for a lot of reasons. But more importantly, the people that was in love with Auburn, believed in Auburn, and the men that came to Auburn from all around the country that chose that university, for whatever reason, every Saturday they showed up to play. From the guys that were the walk-ons that loved Auburn, to the men that came in that was on scholarship that loved Auburn or found a way to love Auburn because of the Auburn people. You just can't put your finger on it, but it's something about that place. And the people make that place. It's no different than the fight song and that tiger walk. Something pretty special. This is my reflection. I'm glad that they was able to acknowledge that we are a 1993 national championship team. So many people made that moment happen. So many players came together. So many prayers in the stands. And more importantly, we did it. 11-0. God bless the great Jim Fife and his family, and all those that supported Auburn, that made Auburn, and that still fall in love with Auburn. I'm an Auburn man in Arizona, and I still love Auburn. War Eagle to you all.
Wow, if that doesn't get you, you can't be got. Frank Sanders, one of the greats of all time for the Auburn Tigers. We'll come back and talk some more about the 93 team with Brian Brinsfield, Shannon Robeek, Todd Bolin, and Jason Taylor from Mobile. All of that coming on the Horizon Financial Halftime Report right after this.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Wiltu, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
And welcome back, everyone. It's time now for the Horizon Financial Halftime Report, brought to you by Horizon Financial. Come with us and experience the Horizon difference. Talking some Auburn football and the honoring this weekend of the national championship teams. We've got a few guys from the 93 team with us tonight. Brian Brinsfield, take us around the circle here. Talk about the 93 team a little bit, and we'll shoot it around the circle here and introduce everybody for us.
Yeah, I've got some guys that did some blocking for us. Some of the offensive linemen on the 93 team, and they played a lot more than that. But on the 93 team, I got Jason Taylor from Shaw in Mobile, and a lot of you familiar with Shaw down listening in Mobile. We played against each other when I was at Fairhope in high school, and he beat me up a whole lot that game. I don't have any much recollection of that game, but Jason and I were roommates for a time, and Jason lives up near Auburn, not far from Auburn now. Shannon Robeek was an All-SEC center. Jason was All-SEC guard. Shannon was an All-SEC center, and I think All-American center. Shannon was from Denham Springs, Louisiana. You'll hear that in his voice. Another guy in our 91 class, just an anchor of that offensive line. And then Todd Boland from New Brockton, Alabama. And we just found out they have not renamed the field Todd Boland Field, after him. Todd was in the class above us, roommate of Clay Helton, coach at Georgia Southern, and a longtime friend of ours. And it's great to have all three of them here to discuss the 93 team that they've kind of deemed us and I think well-deserved national champions, and then maybe talk some Bama ball as well.
Yeah, and like we said before, we're honoring not only the 93 national champions this weekend, but all of them, right, Brian?
Yeah, we got what? I don't think anybody from the 1917 team is going to be there, maybe not. But the 83 team, the 93 team, 2004. Who else is going to?
Maybe the 57.
57?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, there's a couple of those guys still around. Yep.
Yeah. In fact, one of my dad, we talked about my dad last week, and he played for one of those guys, which was Billy Atkins, Ace Atkins' father at Troy State.
Dan Presley still lives here in Enterprise.
Does he?
He's on the 57 team.
Yeah. We'll kind of kick it around. Brian, you start us off and tell us what I know you guys were excited when they officially named the 93 team national champions, and we've talked about that a little bit, Brian. But tell us your thoughts on the weekend and what it's like for you guys to get together again, and we'll kind of kick it around the room here.
Yeah, it was interesting. I don't think that we ever, or at least I'll say, I'm not going to say we, I'll say I never thought that it would happen. It was a surprise when it did. I see the 2010 national champion banner behind you, Doug, hanging on the wall, and maybe they'll give us a banner. I don't know what it'll look like. Maybe it'll say attitude, something like that. But it was a surprise. I was really surprised and really excited to tell my father, who was a national champion at Troy State, about it. And he was excited to be able to try to get there. And so it'll be a little bittersweet this weekend without him. But I think it's well-deserved. We were the only undefeated team in the country. And then went on to win another – what, guys, 9 games. So I had a really good run, and we had it in us the first 2 years in 91 and 92. We just needed, we needed to believe in ourselves and get it out of us. But listen, I was a long snapper. Let's listen to some real football players and let them talk for a minute.
Yeah, listen. Hey, you got to stand behind your perfect record, Brinsfield. That's accolades to you on that.
I appreciate you saying that.
Well, Shannon, I know you told us you're not going to make it this weekend, but I know
That season meant a lot to all of you guys. Tell us a little bit about your memories of 93 in your career and just getting together here on Zoom or on the radio and visiting with these guys. I know that means a lot to you.
Yeah, it's always great to see you guys, right? It's always great to get up for a game, come up to Auburn, see family, see friends. When I say family, guys like JT, Ty, and all those guys, right? They're more like family than they are just friends. So it's always great to get together to see them, you know. And that was a special year for us, right? I mean, we came off a couple of bad years. We got, our coach had got fired or quit, however want to say that. So to come out there in 93, the first year with a new coach and go undefeated and kind of, you know, turn the program back around was great, right? Really instilled a lot of pride in us and hopefully the school and bring back Auburn back to where we thought it should be. Yeah. So I was extremely excited. Like Brian said, right? Never thought they would recognize that team as a national championship team, but you know, I'm happy to say I was part of that team and contributed on the field and everything. So,
yeah, as I remember, quite a locker room scene after that game. Jason, take us back a little bit to your memories of 93 and maybe that final ball game and what you're thinking about this weekend. I know you're going to be a part of the celebration Saturday.
Well, we get a chance with me living a little bit closer than some of the guys, I get a chance to see some of the regulars, and it'd be good to see them again. And we stay in touch, but to see some of the guys you don't get to see often, that's going to be exciting to catch up with those. I know that Randy Hart's coming. Mm-hmm. Randy and I had spent many times tied up together during practice, challenging each other. Seems like most of the times he whooped me, but he made me better. And that year to me was, I don't know if I could say it any different for anybody else, but for me, it was, there was no expectations, mm-hmm. right? There were no stress. It was just have fun, play football and give it everything you got. So that was what we was taught that, I think that made that season what it was. Win, lose, or draw, it was who's the better man on each play. And so we broke it down that way. It was like, if you're going to beat me this play, that's fine. You're going to beat me every play, okay? And I think that was the tenacity of that team. Every player on that team was, okay, you know, if you beat me, you're going to have to beat me again. You're going to have to beat me over and over and over. And I think that's what the attitude of that team was, is that we wore people down because we didn't give up. We didn't win every snap, but I'd be daggum if we didn't win every game, yeah. You know. And so you couldn't count us out. And so the expectations, I mean, young in the head, I don't know if that means anything to you guys, just, you know, look like grown men, look like big masculine, burly men, but just kids – at heart, kids in the head had no idea what we were capable of, no idea. So the direction that coach and staff put together with the base that Coach Dye put down with the foundation, he saw, you know, that was his talent. But then you know, Coach Bowden come in and put us all in this, you know, in the same line and got us going all in the same direction. Yes, that's what the result was. And now that you look back at it, you go, wow, we had some daggum talent on that team, mm-hmm. because you got players from that team that are all over making impacts and helping young men grow, you know, from coaching to have played and, you know, in the pro league and continue to make impact in their own communities at home, like Todd does and everybody else. So, I mean, just a super mix of talented people in their own way that all got aligned and made an effort that nobody could match.
Yeah. Todd, I know you're out in the woods there, but if you don't see a deer right close to you, tell us your memories of 93 and how this weekend's going to be.
Well, the best for last, and I think it's very appropriate. I've got no screen up. I'm the black sheep because these guys in front of us here were just totally awesome. Like I said, Brian and his snapping stats were just unbelievable. The precision, we saw that just this past weekend with the Alabama snap go high, the kick was missed, how important all the things work together. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to know I was for a few games there. I had Robeek to my right, and I had JT on the other side. It was just tremendous to know everyone, even through, and someone touched on earlier, those guys coming in 91 didn't go as well as the years, you know, had followed up at the end of Coach Dye's career. And instead of, you know, just settling and everybody, unfortunately now we have the NIL and everybody transfer portal and everybody wanting to jump ship. Everybody dug in, put their claws in. Whether it be from no names to who names, Jason just said, we had so many guys to go on to the next level. But at the same time, we had guys like myself from a little Tui high school that just was willing to join hands and go toe-to-toe with everybody that we lined up against. I mean, my competition was Willie Anderson, which ended up playing tons of years, probably being the Hall of Fame for the NFL. But we had a staff that was, you know, willing to put those guys at fault day in and day out in practice. I don't think there was a day I didn't get into a fight there at the end with Jason Miska, a guy that walks onto a team. So it was just a combination of athletes from walk-ons to no names to names to everyone that, you know, was just kind of tired and had a bitter taste from how it had ended there. I'll never forget in the room, you know, Coach Dye having to come in and resign at the time, and because of all the cloud over us, being the only team not on TV that year, you know, what they say, best team on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of just had just a certain thing for everyone to get behind us, and to finish undefeated was unheard of. You know, of course, we had Florida State going to win it. So Coach Bowden's thing was, hey, if we couldn't win it, my dad won it. So, you know, he was happy about that. But, you know, I just think it's hats off to everyone, whether it be from the trenches to Stan White at quarterback, with Patrick coming in, you know, taking the second half. It was just everyone stepping up when they needed to step up, and then making the season one that we're celebrating now in due fashion, for sure.
I want to take a minute to tell you about Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, a company built on knowledge, personal service, and integrity. Henry Hardy has over 32 years in financial services. Henry Hardy is a SmartVestor Pro utilizing Dave Ramsey's investing principles, and that tells me a lot. If you're looking for wealth management, retirement planning, call Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, 251-625-2220, located across from the Eastern Shore Center at 1 Timber Way, Suite 100 in Daphne, Alabama. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, SPF, member FINRA, SIPC. Working with an advisor who subscribes to the SmartVestor Pro Network cannot guarantee investment success or that financial goals will be achieved. Advisors pay a fee to belong to the SmartVestor Pro program. Dave Ramsey and the Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro program are not affiliated with Sage Point Financial Incorporated and are not sponsored or endorsed by Sage Point Financial Incorporated.
Talking some Auburn football, lucky enough to have Brian Brinsfield with us, Todd Bolin, Jason Taylor, and Shannon Robeek, all from the 1993 National Championship team. And Brian, your comment there made me think of what Auburn is going through now with the guys that are there. They're going through a transition. There's going to be a decision for them to make. Will I stay at Auburn or will I venture somewhere else? Jason, talk about that a little bit and your thoughts on where Auburn is right now, how the offense looked last week against Vanderbilt, and your thoughts on the coaching search and maybe where Auburn should go there.
Well, I think it's for the coaching staff. To me, it's tough. It's a lot tougher because the kids nowadays, they got more options than we used to have. So, looking at it as one of the greats like Coach Saban, you know, he ran it like a business, right? And then, so when you have the opportunity to put things in place and run it like a business, but then the key pieces being there, you know, the kids, and they get all these options nowadays. It's hard to build a base. It's hard to keep it, right? So I wouldn't know what to do if I was a coach nowadays in this kind of era. I think it's just extremely tough, and it doesn't really teach our kids a proper foundation on how to build a loyalty, work ethic, and things of that nature. Now, you'll get that anywhere you go, you know, putting in the work and stuff like that, but a lot of people forget putting in the work means sticking to the work. You know, regardless of, you know, if it gets, you know, when it gets tough, that's when you find out, you know, who your friends are and who your enemies are. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough nowadays on coaches and kids with all the dynamics going on. I didn't get a chance to watch all of the game. I watched a few of the highlights, but what was surprising to me is the only change was some different decision making going on as far as play calling and key pieces and players, key players in positions, you know. And so somebody had the foresight to try something a little different, and wow, it sparked something. So, you know, I've always said this whole year, I mean, that, you know, we're so daggum close of being a really, really, really good team. You know, the pieces are there. I thought the coaching staff was good, fine enough. You know, I mean, I wasn't really ready to call it quits on Coach Freeze, but I just felt like, you know, we're so close. Something's got to happen somewhere. And I know that, you know, you got to win. You got to win being in the program, being in SEC. So when that happened and they brought out Daniels and they played, and I'm like, okay, so we got pieces there. We just ain't putting them in the right places. Ain't making some perfect calls. Things happen. So I feel like I feel like we're close. We're close. Now, if we can, you know, get the right kind of coach to come in there and continue on with those kind of dynamics, then I think that we're not far off from being a really competitive team, you know, next season.
Let me ask this, and anybody jump in, and Doug, you included, but if we hire, let's say we hire Coach X, and Coach X is an offensive coordinator, and he runs the number one offense, but we lose Cam Coleman, Eric Singleton, we lose a lot of skill players, and then he comes in thinking, okay, we're going to have those people, but then they transfer. What do you do as that coach? Because you don't have what you thought you were going to have as the base of your offense or defense. It could go either way. So it's really hard to even hire a coach not knowing what you're going to have on the team as far as a roster. Yeah. What do y'all think?
I'll give you my 2 cents, and I'll let Shannon and Todd talk the majority of the time. But I think that's a major factor, Brian, is you've got to keep some of these guys on the roster, or we're going to be rebuilding all over again where we were, you know, when Coach Freeze came in, as far as talent probably. But and my feeling on the coaching thing is I don't see anybody out there that stands out that much to me that are the candidates. So it's just my opinion, but why not go with DJ Durkin, who, you know, is a fantastic coach in the Southeastern Conference defensively, add maybe an offensive touch to the staff and keep some of these guys on the roster. And Todd and Shannon, tell me what you think.
Well, I mean, I think it's anything, right? I think it's chemistry, whether we're talking business, whether we're talking college football, NFL, right? It's a chemistry thing, and I think just bringing in the right coach and just having the chemistry and that one little piece to put the whole puzzle together, right? We can have a whole puzzle, but if we don't have that one piece there in the middle to bring it all together and gel it and lead, then the puzzle falls the puzzle's going to fall apart, right? You got to have that leader there. And I'm not saying Coach Freeze wasn't a leader, but maybe he wasn't the right fit for this team, right? I mean, obviously he had success at Ole Miss. He had success at Liberty, but for whatever reason, just couldn't quite bring it together at Auburn. But I think, yeah, the pieces are there. It's just we're missing that one little piece to bring it all together and make it a full puzzle, in my opinion.
I agree. I think I saw right after the announcement, one of the commits commented, you know, I'm into the program. You got to think that, yes, they're sold on a coach, but also, too, you get a taste of Auburn. You get a taste of the environment. You get a taste of the atmosphere. You get a taste of your teammates. So it has a little bit to do with it. Let's face it, it's a whole different world than we were there in 93, where we wasn't chasing the dollar. You know, we were more involved in, like I said, being accountable to our teammates, having their back, and also, too, the fact that we were at Auburn, visited Auburn, toured Auburn, and that's why you like wanted to be at Auburn. So, you know, I think it's a positive thing to see. To my knowledge, have we lost any since the news of Freeze? Do y'all know of any?
No.
I know we had. I think we had the window, right, that they're able to transfer right. and do things. But you know, I just think everybody's anxious to see how we fill that void. And you know, once you step on the on the that field and you're out in Jordan-Hare and you play, just like we will, we're not going to overlook Mercer. But when we step out on the Iron Bowl as a night game, you've got a little bit more in your blood there than just the coach. You've kind of been bought into the whole thing, Auburn, all Auburn.
Absolutely. Todd Bolin, Jason Taylor, Shannon Robink, and Brian Brensfield, thanks for being with us on the radio show tonight. And hope you guys have a great time this weekend. And if you want to see more of our conversations, head on over to WarEagleTV.com. Join our X page and our YouTube channel. They are right there on the front of the website, WarEagleTV.com. A few closing thoughts on the weekend when we come back on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
And just time to say goodnight tonight on Tiger Talk Overtime. Glad you're with us on the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks to all our great sponsors who keep us here on the air. And Auburn and Mercer coming up this weekend. Hopefully, we can get a big victory for head coach DJ Durkin and build some momentum heading into that Iron Bowl next week at Jordan-Hare Stadium. You can hear the pregame and the ball game right here Saturday on FM Talk 106.5. And thanks to all our guests tonight as well. Brian Brensfield, of course, Shannon Robink, Todd Bolin, Jason Taylor, the great Frank Sanders, and Kevin Fichtner talking some college basketball at the top of the show. If you'd like to hear Auburn sports all through the week, don't forget to join us on WarEagleTV.com. Join us on X and our YouTube channel and subscribe to us there, and we'll take you all the way through the week on WarEagleTV.com. Until next week, Doug Holton, War Eagle, everybody.